Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin. Father, we are thankful for your faithfulness toward us, for your goodness toward us. We're thankful that we can call upon you as a good father because we first and foremost see you as the father of your son, our Lord and Savior, our brother, according to the flesh, Jesus Christ. Father, we are thankful that out of an outpouring of your love toward us, you sent your son into this world to give himself for us, that you might show the boundless love that you have for us in him. Lord, thank you for the redemption that we have through him, that we might be called sons and daughters. And so, Father, during this time, we ask that your word would go out, our hearts would be stirred, we would have eyes to see and ears to hear, and that we would rejoice, Father, in you, our good Father. We would rejoice in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and our Lord. And Lord, that through your Holy Spirit, you would pour out your love in our hearts, that we might rejoice and magnify you. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I remember where I was. I had just graduated from college. I was working in a wood mill outside of Salem, Oregon, in Staten. And it was about 10 o'clock in the morning, and I was walking from one building to another building when someone ran up to me and said, they knocked him down. What? They knocked him down. What do you mean? The Twin Towers, they knocked him down. And I thought to myself, how is that even possible? That's just incredible. How does that even work? In my mind, I had this idea of this domino effect of the towers just in this whole thing falling down. And so I worked the rest of the day, and I got home, and I couldn't wait, unfortunately, to turn on the TV to find out what happened. And in that moment, you see the feed just playing over and over and over again as planes crashed into the Twin Towers. And I remember seeing our president at the time, George Bush, standing on top of the rubble with Rudy Giuliani and all of the first responders, and infamously saying, they're going to hear from us. There's certain things in our lives that we will always remember. And even as this last week, as we remembered 9/11 through various news organizations or through social media, there was this statement that said, don't forget, we will always remember. There's this tendency to want to remember what happened. And I think the reason why we do that is because as human beings, our tendency is to forget things so quickly. Isn't it amazing that it's been almost 20 years since that happened? I mean, some people in this room, we're not even born yet. It's incredible that after 20 years, it just goes by that fast. It's easy to forget something that's even so important as that. And so my question for you this morning over and over again will be, have you forgotten? But it's not going to be tied to the Twin Towers. It's going to be tied to what Paul wants to tell us in Galatians 1:1-5, because it seems like under the text, he's asking the Galatians, have you forgotten? Have you forgotten something that's far more important than anything else that we could ever forget? Have you forgotten something that absolutely defines who you are? Have you forgotten? As we turn in Galatians, I hope that what we see is that as Paul is asking the question, have you forgotten, that we're going to see two things, that God reminds us of his faithfulness in two ways. He reminds us of his faithfulness in the way that he rescues us. And he reminds us of his faithfulness in the way that he raised his son. And so turn in Galatians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 5. Galatians 1, 1 through 5. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. We're going to look at the passage a little bit backwards today. We're actually going to start in verses 3 and 4, and then we're going to go back to verses 1 and 2. But in verses 3 and 4, what I hope we see is that God reminds us of his faithfulness as he rescues us. So verses 3 and 4, the rescue, and verses 1 and 2, we're going to see the resurrection, that God reminds us of his faithfulness in the resurrecting of his son. So let's jump in to verses 3 and 4 first. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. First and foremost, let me look at verse 4 where it says, who gave himself for you. Now, when you're looking at the idea of who gave himself for you, in the original language, what this phrase does is it flavors the entire passage. It sets the boundaries, or it sets the veil through which we're intended to see the entire passage. It's like a kaleidoscope. It colors the way we're intended to see the passage. And the question becomes, okay, well, wait a minute. How does it color the way that we're intended to see the passage? How does verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, color the rest of the passage? We'll go back to verse 3, where Paul says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The way we're intended in this passage to understand God's grace is particularly in the reality that he gave his son for us. Oftentimes in life, we like to tend to see God's grace, and I think I've mentioned this before, we like to see God's grace principally as this idea of this magic pixie dust thing, or this Energizer bunny that allows you to get things done that you wouldn't otherwise be able to do. That grace becomes this this object that somehow God gives you, or this abstract thing. But what Paul is saying here is, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Where does this grace reside in? This grace resides in the fact that God the Father is for you. And how did he show that he was for you? He showed that he was for you by what? Through Jesus Christ, who gave himself for you. One of the things to keep in mind here is that in every single thing that God does, and you'll see it over and over again here in Galatians 1, that God our Father, even in verse 1, God our Father in verse 3, and God and Father in verse 4. When God enacts the process of saving you, in everything that God does, even in creation, he does it first and foremost as a father, as the Father. I think sometimes it's easy for us to think of God as some abstract being, or some kind of misty thing in the sky, or maybe a Santa Claus figure, or maybe the big man upstairs. And oftentimes we presume that he's kind of alone up there somewhere, just like a big puppet master who's just kind of presiding over things, or maybe even distant, or far away, or abstracted from us, or unreachable. He's way up there, and I'm way down here. But what Paul is saying here is that grace and peace is to you from God our Father. And so as you come to God through Christ, you come to Him as your good Father, first and foremost. You come to Him as the one who is your Father, who is for you. And how did He show that He was for you? By sending you who? His Son. If I wanted to, we talked about this in our group a couple weeks ago, on our Thursday night group. If I wanted to introduce myself to someone, and I thought it was really important that they understand who I am, there's several ways I could do that, but what I want to say most about myself is going to be reflected in how I introduce myself. And so if I were to try to introduce myself, let's say, to Mary, and I decided I'm going to send Savannah to introduce myself, and she came to Mary and said, I am the daughter of Jess, my father. The most important thing I'm saying about myself is that I'm a father. That's first and foremost. By sending my child, I'm first and foremost saying I am a father. And so Paul is saying here that grace to you and peace from God our Father. God is interested in us recognizing Him as the Father. He is the Father. And how has He shown His grace and peace to us? Through the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. The whole purpose of the Lord Jesus, of the Son coming down for us, the whole purpose of Him coming down and taking on humanity was not so that He could glorify Himself, not so that He could boast in Himself, but so that He might give Himself for you. God the Son came down to give Himself for you. Even when we were enemies, Romans says, God showed His love for us by giving us His Son. When we were rejecting Him, He said, I'm going to send them my Son, my beloved, the best I have. I'm going to send my Son. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself, the very next phrase here, for our sins. Circle the word if you're a Bible circler. Circle the word for. Prepositions are very important. They hold a ton of theological weight. Who gave Himself for our sins. The idea of for there is that for our benefit, for our good. It's this outward moving reality of God toward creation. God didn't send His Son for Himself, primarily, principally. He didn't send His Son to magnify Himself, principally. He sent His Son for you. Why? Because He's so incredibly, wonderfully good that even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, He would send His Son for you, for your benefit, for your advantage, not for His own. It's this outward moving love that overflows into creation, and that is best embodied as the Son takes on humanity for you. And so He sent Him for our sins. The idea here is that not just the multiple sins we commit, but the ultimate sin that Adam and Eve committed in the garden, that we are identified with them in that sin. And that is, as God creates Adam and Eve, he puts them in the garden, he loves them, he pours out his kindness toward them. In an act of grace, he makes them whole to participate in his life through the Holy Spirit. And the serpent comes in and they say, does God really love you? Does he really care for you? Can you really trust him? Is he really who he says he is? And Adam and Eve begin to look at one another and they begin to doubt the reality of who God is, and they curve in on themselves and away from the Lord and away from one another, and sin enters in the world. And the moment that that happens, the Spirit of God, who God had, the Father had given them to participate in his life, to live life with him, to enjoy his eternal life with him, in that moment, the Spirit of God, God says, if you turn away from me and reject me, you'll die. And in that moment, when they turned away, they died. And we are all born into this world in that condition, beloved by the Father, cared for by our God, the Son having given himself, but we're born into this world separated from him. And so Paul says that that Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave himself for our sins to what? Verse 4, to deliver us from the present evil age. As soon as man turned away from God, sin and darkness and brokenness and death and corruption and broken relationships entered into the world, into God's beautiful, wonderful, perfect, it is good, it is very good creation, sin entered in. And a whole bucket load of sorrow and brokenness with it. And we are still living in that current evil age. The reason why we see politicians on the left and politicians on the right, and the reason why we see people on the left and people on the right, and unfortunately the church on the left and the church on the right, and in the middle aisle no one stands, but everybody's lobbing bombs at each other even during this election cycle, the reason why this happens the way it does is because we live in a current evil age that is characterized by sin, that is broken relationships, that has led to death, that has led to despair. There's the word deliver here in the ESV. If you're reading the NIV, circle that word. Because if you're reading the NIV, it says rescue. To rescue. Now, I like the word rescue. I like that rendering better in English than I like deliver, because deliver has kind of the same idea, but you can deliver a pizza, right? Right? Some of us have groceries delivered to our house, right? No one ever brings your, the pizza guy doesn't show up at your house and say, hey, I've rescued a pizza for you. Right? Hey, I've rescued, you know, you don't give the guy a tip because he rescued that pizza. Actually, the pizza is not going to be rescued at all. You know that. Within 10 minutes, there is no rescue for that pizza. Right? But he does deliver it, right? He takes it from one place and brings it to another place. Right? You never say, oh, it's the pizza rescue man. Right? It's the pizza delivery man. So I think in our English Bibles, I think the word rescue is much better there, and that's what the NIV has. January 15th, 2009, United Airways flight 1549 took off from LaGuardia. Going up the Upper East Side of New York, and within minutes, 400 miles per hour struck a flock of Canadian geese. One engine goes out, the other engine goes out, and the smell of burning mechanical fluid and metal and geese begins to fill the cockpit and begins to fill the cabin, and it's an entire power failure. Both engines are out. For the next minute or so, 2 minutes, Captain Sully is on the airways trying to figure out a place where he can land, talking to air traffic controllers in different airports, one in New Jersey, another two in New York, trying to figure out where can I put this airplane down. Now, if you were in the cabin of that airplane, you would have a certain sense of hopelessness and helplessness. You are strapped to your seat. There is nothing that you can do on your own. You cannot crawl your way or scratch your way or do anything to remove yourself from that predicament. The word rescue, that's the idea. When Christ came down to rescue you, he rescued you in a way that you could not help yourself. There are no latches on the inside of a casket. You're not getting out from the inside. You are in certain peril and brokenness and doom. This is a fun sermon, isn't it? Besides the pizza delivery guy, you are in certain peril and doom. And Paul says that he came down to rescue you. God shows his faithfulness. He reminds you of his faithfulness by how he sent his son to rescue you. That his son would go to the cross, that his son would die our death, that his son would take our sin, our brokenness, our corruption on himself and thereby rescue us. He reminds us of his faithfulness by how he rescues us, not in a situation where we could have figured it out. This is not us just trying to pick the lock just right. This is not a Harry Houdini situation where we're going to just get out in the last minute and, man, that was close. No, it's done. You need a rescuer. And there's only one who can rescue you. And he came down for you. He reminds us of his faithfulness and how he rescues us. But he doesn't just remind us of his faithfulness and how he rescues us. He reminds us of his faithfulness and how he resurrects. He raised his son. And the reason why this is important is because if Jesus goes to the cross and he dies, but he's not raised again, then none of us are raised again. The resurrection is something in our theological thinking that oftentimes is forgotten. And Paul wants to remind the Galatians here of how critical, how important the resurrection is. So he says in verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Just as important as Jesus coming down and going to the cross and living a perfect life in our place as our relational representative, as our relational substitute, just as important as it was for him to be fully God and fully man and to live that life with the Father and to go to the cross and die in our place, take our death and our brokenness with him, just as important as that is, every bit of importance is the resurrection. because the resurrection is the Father's final proclamation that death is dead. That Christ himself, the one who's perfectly God and perfectly human, truly God and truly human in one person, he has overcome death for us. And what he did for us, the Father says, that is good, that is very good, and I'm resurrecting my Son to proclaim him as the way, the truth, and the life. The Father who raised him from the dead. This is our hope. Paul says in Romans 8, he says that we groan in these bodies. I'm only 43, and I'm already groaning. Some of you have been groaning longer than I have. Some of you have yet to start groaning. Some of you groan because you're hungry. Right? But we groan within these bodies with the hope, the anticipation of the fact that Christ, when he came down and he gave his life for us, and the Father said, that is good, that is very good, I'm raising my Son from the grave, we can look at Christ and say, in a twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15, in the twinkling of an eye, someday I will be like him, because the Father is faithful to raise his Son. If I am in Christ, he will raise me just like he's been raised. And the Father reminds us of this reality, that the one who spoke life out of death, the one who spoke light into darkness, the one who at the beginning created all things for the purpose of life, that Father loves life and to pour it out on his creation. And he did so when he sent his Son, and he did so when he raised his Son back up. And all heaven rejoiced. When the Son was raised, because now there's life in him. There's another day that I'll never forget. And it's a day where I thought to myself, if I just had more time, if I just had more time, it was September 15th of 2015 when we buried my dad. And I just remember thinking, driving back in the car, we just had more time. And then I remember this. That in a twinkling of an eye, my dad, who died in Christ, in the twinkling of an eye, at the shout of the trump of the archangel, my dad will be raised again. And his heavenly Father, my heavenly Father, who sent his Son for him and for me, loves to give life. And someday I will meet my Father in the air forever to be with the Lord. Without the resurrection, Paul says, we have no hope. If the Father doesn't raise the Son, none of us are raised. But the Father raised the Son, therefore my dad will be raised. Your loved ones will be raised. If they are in Christ, they will be raised to be united with Him forever, and you will forever be with them and with the Lord. If you are in Christ today, your hope, your escape, your rescue from death and corruption, your escape, your rescue from this present evil age has been bound up in the Father who sent His Son to be the one to rescue you, who the Father raised up that you might have life in His name. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten? In the midst of our broken society, where it seems like our world is tearing apart, our nation is tearing apart, political posturing left and right, dealing with the hardship of wearing masks, dealing with the hardship of jobs, dealing with the hardship of just raising kids and trying to work. Have you forgotten? Paul, in writing this greeting to Galatians, which is so easy to miss, is saying, I don't want you to forget the faithfulness of your heavenly Father who rescued you through His Son and raised Him again that you might have life in Him. Have you forgotten? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reminder of your steadfast love and your mercy that you showed forth through your Son. That you, as a good Father, sent your Son to this earth that He might conquer sin and death and brokenness and bury it all in the grave. And that you raised Him as a proclamation that sin and death and brokenness and shame and corruption had been dealt with in a way that was good, very good. So, Father, thank you for your faithfulness to us. May we not forget. May our hearts be stirred. May your Son Jesus and the truth of who you are be the anchor of our souls. That no matter what we go through in this life, that we might, with anticipation and hope, look to you, recognizing that you are the one who has provided our rescue, and that through your Son, who is our rescue, we also have redemption and resurrection and hope in Him. Father, remind us, may we not forget. We praise things in Christ's name. Amen.